knowledge humanity's learned search for 13,000 years. Shows up on the 22nd, November 22nd. See the magic number, 22.
Yeah, Bob Fest.
Bob, you know, Bob Fass, F-A-S-S, is the guy who started Freeform Radio WBAI in New York 50 years ago in 63. This is Bob Fast, F-E-S-T, very close to Bob Fast.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this is incredible, Bob. This is really, I mean, I can't, to use words, you know, it's crazy and fucked up anyway, but it's really something. This is, I mean, for anybody who has any type of exposure and wanted to look into the occult and, you know, everything, and are missing out on this, they've missed train, the boat, and the rocket ship.
They missed the planet. They've been sent to the moon. Yeah, this
is it.
You see where people, the popular culture says, we were altered, aliens altered us, blah, blah, blah. It's all exaggerated, but there's a kernel of truth in the popular culture mythologies, right?
Yeah.
But this is giving you the actual technique of change in the teeth, in the wrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. No, that's...
No, I want to hear you say, you were going to say, it's so...
It makes so much sense when you listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, any type of storybook. I mean, it makes so much sense about how the jaws were altered. Look at the teeth, the connection.
Right. There's more details about the teeth coming up later. They made it so we had an extra couple of teeth grow in or something like that, which then shaped the mouth and made our chewing different, which altered the brain chemistry.
You can eat that thing. But, you know, that makes so much sense, what you're explaining there, that whole... But then when you consider, fast forward to what we're experiencing now with ion.
Yeah.
Complete formulas, RNA drops, makes a lot of sense to me.
That's right. And as I was listening to this, I thought, the Evereens know that this will be broadcast someday. No one else was asking them these questions that I knew of. And so they know that this is going to be broadcast someday, so they're being very precise in their statement. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Slowly, deliberately.
Also, Bob.
But
this is Bob Fett, so I have to blow your horn. Bob, it also makes a lot of sense that you are the greatest questioner in the world, because those questions were brought out, and then you fast forward to anyone who's listened to the Revelation series, any of the clips, when you're questioning ION, my goodness, it's really...
Yeah, and I have this stuff in my... I already
been
briefed by the Evergreen, so I build my questions from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, now, there was a point... There was something else to tell you. What? The UFOs, back in 2005 or so, Eben was reading the New York Times one day, and she read that the scientists that were determining that humans became human and more intelligent than their ape self because of changes to the jaw. And you can hear it on an old recording. Eben calls me up. She's screaming into my phone, Bob. And she reads me the article, so then I go on her show and we talk about it. And she interviewed every UFO quack in the world, you know what I mean? And she said first time that something that somebody said was validated by science, in conventional bullshit science. And it was this obscure point about it. I always said, I used to take it from the Evereens, the alteration of the jaw was a major factor in making us human and creating a subconscious and memory. And here I was emphasizing the jaw, and the scientists, you know, 10 years ago said the jaw was the thing. I don't know how they figured it out, but they knew something had happened to the jaw. She was ecstatic for years about that.
Wow. I mean, this is, I mean, you know, like I said, beginning of when I was talking, it's like, it just really is funny that anyone who's had any interest in any of that crap that's out there, that people are still trying to look at it,
yeah,
to outer space, Egypt, Aleister Crowley, if they're not here listening to this, they're living actually in another world, proof.
Yeah. The ship has left. We are on, yeah, the Bob ship, and we have left the planet, and they're back there in the concentration camp.
Yeah, yes.
Did you get that? The fucking Eskimos, now called Inuit, their mythology was that their beginnings came from the silver ships. It's interesting, over thousands of years, they kept the memory, and you know, they're very primitive when they were fucking able even to think of what happened to them. They said, yes, way back there, we were brought in silver ships to here. Wow.
I've never heard that. That's the first time I've ever heard that. But that makes,
yeah,
a lot of sense when you consider the Dogon legend.
Yeah. You're saying that's the first time you've heard the Eskimo legend. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's the,
yeah,
first time I ever heard of the Eskimo legend.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. That's, wow.
So, we will carry on. This is an awesome session. And you'll see, you know, once we get this done, we did the beginning of matter and substance and life. Oh, you didn't hear that, but it's matter, life.
Really?
Yeah, we began the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. Now we're dealing with the beginning of man. And then my next session will be Atlantis and Lemuria and the beginning of the early cultures in Egypt and all that.
Yeah. Just for a note, for the record, everyone must remember that Ion said that they came forth to complete,
yeah,
what the Evergreen said. And here's a big thing. My goodness.
This awesome. Is what they're completing. And I'm the only one getting this data 20 years ago. That gave me a bank of information that I had to bounce off what Evergreens were saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what I was saying. There, I was saying there's no time. I said, well, what about this? What about the alteration? You know, we go into all that with Ion.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing how much I had built up. Just like Carolyn had incredible medical knowledge that then had to confront what I was saying, I had all this historical knowledge, anthropological knowledge, that would be in my mind as I questioned the Ion.
Yeah. Wow. And then what Ion, I mean, I just listened to the What's RNA this morning, and when you listen to that again and you listen to it in again, you really, I mean, he really added a lot that's really in the hidden ground with the health,
yeah,
aspect of what Carolyn's doing. That's, you know, you can talk about it, but no one believes it, but it really doesn't matter. It's really an experience, Bob.
Yeah. It's the real university, the real classroom, the real educational, the real initiation.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's phenomenal. And then to hear this, what I just, this little bit that you just clipped, and knowing what I missed before, man, it's really, I need about three birds right now. One to go back and listen to what you played earlier. And,
Well, did you say that you, what was this thing about you and your partner seeing some vehicles or something? What's that?
Oh, Madeline, huh?
Madeline brought something
you that?
Up. I think so.
Yeah, Bob,
yeah.
This what happened. I mean, I told you about a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago what I saw when I was walking. And I felt something. I had another experience in 2009 where I could feel something, and when I saw it, and then when as soon as I really acknowledged it, the fucking thing flew away and disappeared, man. And the same thing, and the same thing happened a couple weeks ago. I mentioned that I looked at it and I kept making the mention. Okay, as the closer I get to it, I want to really see what it is. So then Wednesday evening, I went up into my training area. And I don't turn the lights all the way up because it's not really, it just doesn't feel good to train. But anyway, I saw this like flashing thing coming through my window, and I went out and I wear glasses, and my eyesight is improving, by the way, but I saw this flashing and I didn't have my glasses on, and I looked out the window and I was like, what the, you know, it looked like,
yeah,
a star, but it was red and orange going. So then I ran downstairs because I've been telling my wife these things, you know. So I just got my crazy card canceled on Wednesday because I said, look, and she saw it. And it was an orange
going. What did you say got canceled? You just said your crazy card canceled? What's that mean?
I crazy card because I've been telling my wife that I've been seeing UFOs, you know, and she said, yeah, 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 but then I know, you know, normally.
Oh, it got canceled. She now knows you're not crazy.
Now she knows I'm not crazy because she got to see it. She actually got to see it longer because she said, hey, go get the binoculars. And then I ran upstairs real quick, got the binoculars, ran down. She said, it's gone. I was like, okay.
But she saw it longer.
She saw it longer, and with the way she described how it disappeared was the same way that the one that I saw in September 2009 disappeared.
Right.
It just, like, starts to move, and then all of a sudden it fades really quick. Boom.
Now, this could be the same thing. What?
Go ahead. No.
Well, what was your last words? I drowned them out.
No, it's the same way that it faded out.
Yeah.
The way I saw it, except she said it started going up and it faded out. The one that I saw in 2009 went to the left, and then it just faded out, and then you didn't see it anymore. Just like it just transformed and went right into something else.
But hers was different or the same way?
Same way, but it went up. It was that close enough where we could see it. If it went left and right, you would be able to track it a lot longer and see. But it went straight up.
Yes, one
and
possibility
straight up
here.
And then, go ahead.
Yeah, straight up and then.
And then it like dialed out or faded out. You know, it just like disappeared.
Yeah. So. This is like the UFO that showed up with me and Carolyn from the future looking at this. This could be you and your partner in the future coming to you. One way to
it
look
may
at
be.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that may be because that's what I mentioned to Madeline. I said, you know, what we're doing right now that we're able to, as you do your connection, if you can, that you're able to go in a portal, you don't need a spaceship.
Right.
So we're actually more powerful than whatever's in that spaceship.
Yeah.
If they're really that powerful and bad, they would come and say, hey, you know, do. But it's almost like a fear, not really a fear thing, but it's like, hey, why are you running from me?
Yeah.
That was my first thought Wednesday because, you know, when I had it in September, you know, I didn't know what to think. I actually forgot about it until I had to think about it again, you know. But and then what just happened in October struck me. But this one, there is something out there, put it that way.
Right. Now, the Ian says recently, the ascended person, ascended civilization, does not have time. So they are not in the future placing pharaohs in Egypt to prove something to our now. That's someone still working with time. They're in the future, they're advanced or whatever, but they're going to play something in the past to mean something now. The ascended person is not in that spectrum of manipulation. So you're right to say the UFOs that are coming from the future to do something in your past and then show up in your present, that's still working within time. So they're not fully ascended.
This is Denny.
Yes, Denny.
I think about that too, but I also think that spaceships could be used just to have fun.
Yeah.
And so it's just like I can get there in a car, but I might want to ride a motorcycle because it would be more fun. I can get there by not using a spaceship, but I might want to because it would be fun.
Right. That's what the ascended people are playing with reality as fun. They're not inside all anxious within the drama of it.
And so that's why I would think you could still be ascended and be in a spaceship.
Right. It's just important that Ion make that idea so you're not. You need to know, well, yeah, if they're still playing with time, placing stuff in the future from the past, or vice versa, then they're still in time. So anybody could say, well, wait a minute, why are they involved in time? So it's good to have that said so you clear out that cobweb or missing assumption. And then you go back out, but they could still be ascended people. But you're not subject to the hypnosis, that they are superior because they can do play stuff in the past. Well, they're not as superior as the groupings that are not involved with time at all, not placing things in the past. So the back to the future is a silly idea from the ascending position.
Yeah.
Even
Bob,
though,
I heard a good explanation. Ian gave a wonderful explanation that I have to go back and listen to a number of times in the Stone Cold recordings.
Yeah.
He did a really beautiful metaphor of like looking at each moment as a bubble. And each bubble we consider time, but it could be like two bubbles or there could be 1,000 bubbles, and each bubble is what we consider time. I mean, it's...
Right.
I'm not fully understanding, but it made a lot of sense about how we got caught up in the time that actually is just a bubble, and then, you know, that bubble pops, and then you're in another bubble, and that bubble pops. Instead of looking at it going linear, it could be a lot of bubbles. But I need to go back and listen to it, but it was really, it touched a little bit that I'm on the way to understanding there's
right.
no time.
And he would be doing that because bubble physics is a meme. So these guys are saying, you know, we came from bubbles or matter began with bubbles. Here's Ion presenting it and making more poetry out of it and puncturing the leaden way the scientists use it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing off their meme they created. Another thing that Ion just takes from humans. Another idea that humans make. So the bubble physics is one of the, it's like string theory, one of the new models.
Ah, okay. Wow.
Okay, well, you have anything else to say, Denny?
No, I'm fine.
Have you been here a long time?
Yeah, I've been here all night.
Yeah, you're 208, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay, so let's carry on with this stuff. Probably gets even better. All right, so... What?
No, I was just laughing. It's just you know...
It's too rich. Very rich. Here's Trina, the newest chat room post. Trina, I feel asleep. She means I fell asleep. I fell asleep for 4 hours and missed it too. Amazing clips. And I'm enjoying your dialogue drinking French roast coffee. Wahoo! More. Even though she's missing it all, they know that something great's happening. Here's Leon. He says, now what time would this be? So six. Well, yeah, so this would be an hour ago. We're at 4:18, which is 6:18 Bill's time. So an hour ago, Leon, no, just 25 minutes ago, Leon says, this is an amazing recording of the Evergreens. Damn, Bob. This Bobathon is rewriting life as the 99ers know it. This Bobathon is rewriting life as the 99ers know it. Whereas they don't know it or whatever. I don't know if that works, Leon. Then he says, right at the top of the hour when I stopped at 18 minutes ago, he goes, great recording, three times, great recording. And then he makes another post 2 minutes later, knocking on BI's doors. What's BI? It could be WBAI? That sounds familiar. Knocking on B.I.'s doors, B.I. Then Leon
Bob
says...
Bob Ion,
yeah, right, B.I. But W.B.A.I., yeah, knocking on B.I.'s door is a song celebrating W.B.A.I. by Dylan Imitator. So it should be W.B.A.I., but I think they shortened it to B.A.I., or Leon didn't know all the letters. So, yeah, that's right, knocking on B.A.I.'s doors, that's the song. Knocking on heaven's doors. Then Leon says 1 minute later, Bob is the richest human in this solar system. That's right. With this fucking information I have sitting home in my...
Yeah.
I have all this in my fucking computer.
Here.
Right. Then Sue in Montreal She's the first, I think. Maybe someone else did. Good morning, Bob. It's 9 a.m. in Montreal. Looking forward to listening to the archives for what I missed. For those who just tuned back in, can you please tell us who is chatting with who and who was that that was explaining about Neanderthals and such? Thanks. That was me and Carolyn. I think Carolyn's there. She's in some of them. It's me and Ellie, Michael Blake Reed's wife, his third wife, who ran the sessions from like 1985 till 2004. When you hear the first sessions way back at the beginning of the show, that's his previous wife, Philippa. But you've got here, so it's Bob and Ellie, and maybe Carolyn's there, talking to Michael Blake Reed, who is in trance, and we are talking to the 7,000 entities known as the Evergreens, speaking through Michael Blake Reed. Now, here's Gene 2 minutes ago saying, Bob, unmute me. All right, we'll go over and see what's the... Oh, there it is. Yes, some people. People are starting to come in. A whole bunch of people have come in. Bert and Denny.
Yeah, everyone's...
They're all waking up.
Waking up, yeah.
Yeah, report. They have missed the most... Well, Bert's a great advertiser. What if they miss, Bert, the most phenomenal stuff ever heard by humans?
Ever. Ever. It washes away everything everyone's heard in the last 10 years of New Age... Booger Man, Spaceship,
Bashar, bullshit.
Bashar.
Remember, Bashar says he's a guy up in a spaceship hovering over the planet. Claiming to be a Boodian.
Yeah.
Now, yes, anybody want to speak? So you've been
good morning,
on
Bob.
Morning, Gene.
Man, what a great way to start the day.
Yeah. With Bob.
I've been listening for maybe an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
And, well, my final conclusion at this point is it's not to be resolved. When you guys were talking about the bubble physics, I'm starting to get it, Bob. it's not to be resolved because...
It's only thought.
We ascend all the time.
Yes.
All of us ascend all the time. And so this is a point in that time that isn't for us.
Yes.
So it's right now for us, but if we come, if those that aren't ascended keep coming back and diddling from the, you know, keep coming back from the future and diddling with us, then that ends for those that aren't ascended.
That is what? What did you say? That is tense?
Then it never ends for those that are not affected.
Yeah, right.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Gene and Danny.
Hi, Wendy.
And
Wendy.
And whoever's there. Yes.
Yeah, that's Wendy.
Yes.
You know who's missing Wendy? Maybe you could email her. Where's Susanna from Dallas? Where that? She hasn't been here in weeks. What happened? Is she gone paranoid? Reached the black hole? Went into the black lodge as they all do?
I haven't. Susanna's not one of the ones I've been in touch with, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But Sarah's been missing, and I don't know if she's not feeling well. Was she
Sarah Courtney or Sarah Michael? Michael's
Sarah.
Here. Yeah, Michael's
Sarah.
Here.
Oh, hi, Sarah. The other Sarah. The artist.
Yes, that's Michael's friend. And Michael's here.
Yeah.
She was sleeping.
She was sleeping. Okay.
I got an email from Sarah a couple days ago, and it was blank. So I ignored it, but I thought, oh, is she going paranoid? She's got nothing to say to Bob anymore or something, and she's not here. She's always here. So.
No, she was, because I stay in touch with her, and I phoned her the other day, and she had discovered that Canada is not, she gets billed for the long distance. And, oh, my God, her and I have talked for hours. And so she just said quickly that she was laying on the couch. She couldn't even type or something. So I haven't been able to, with me being gibbled up and not typing much either. so I don't know. I think she's not feeling well.
But right. Did she get screwed by the bill?
I don't know.
The phone bill?
We didn't. we didn't want to talk because we didn't want to run any
right.
more phone bills up. But I have on my wall, on canvas, a beautiful picture that, and she sent it to you, the Three Kingdoms. And
right,
I
right.
I printed it out on canvas, and I have it framed and up on my wall, and it's lovely.
You printed it out from your computer?
Yeah, she sent it to me in a way that I could print it, and I
right.
took it to Photoshop, and they printed it onto canvas, and it's up on my wall, it's framed, and it's just, it's lovely. She's a very talented girl.
Yeah, I liked it, but I want her to name which one's which. Which is the Inner Kingdom, and maybe she doesn't have it specified.
Yeah, we didn't even talk in detail about that as of yet, so... But it's up there. I have the labyrinth painting, but it's been here for months, but it's not even opened yet, and I'm not allowed to touch it or look at it because Ed ordered it for Christmas.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So I will read later the chronology of the creation of that painting, all the INS
yeah.
that were involved in it. It's very interesting chronology.
Wow.
I've been listening to your... segments on it. Jenny's been playing this,
yes.
and I want to get it all, you know, into one place and make a chart or something so that when I open
yeah.
it, I can look at it and read through what you've all said.
Yeah. Well, you have the angel diagram. Overlay the angel diagram on it.
Oh, okay, because I don't understand. I got the angel diagram, and to be honest, I kind of looked at it, and it's pretty hard to see because it printed out pretty small. But I didn't do the session, like I guess on rewrite, you guys.
No, no, that. you can't understand it. Now we give
well,
hints
I mean.
of some parts in the labyrinth discussion. I give out some statements about the 14 rings.
And
not
didn't
complete.
Ion say that it's going to apply to each person differently, so you'd need a session to understand how that chart applies to you individually? Is that correct?
No, there's a general meaning of it that applies to everybody. I don't know about the particularization. It depends. Ion says in the chapter 23, we say, do we do the angel diagram? He says, no, that's for one-on-one. And it depends on how much the person goes into it. Doesn't mean it's an individual meaning for the person that could be included, but it depends on each person how deep they want to go. We end up doing, you know, 100 hours on it.
Wow.
A group mind doing it. Man, I think it's like 100 hours. Very, very long time. There's everything. It's the most complete symbol ever, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to have to relook at it now that I've got, because we were doing the Emerald Tablets, a few of us. I went online because Ion had said in the intro that it was important that you understand the Egyptian hieroglyphs. So
right.
I found a site and I printed off all of, it's beautiful, all of the symbols and their alphabetical equivalents and
yeah.
whatever. So I've got all of that, and I never thought I should look at those and relook at that diagram. Are there any of those symbols on it?
I think so. Well, you get it in chapter 23. It gives you the alphabet and then the matching with our alphabet. Isn't that in the text you
it
get?
It is, but you know what? It's so long ago that I got it, and because I didn't understand it, I just kind of, it's in my little binder, and I haven't really played with it much because it was like Greek to me at the time.
Well, okay, go back and do it again. You just look at it. Bert, you know this isn't the letters matched up with the alphabet in the diagram of
yes, the very the characters that relate to the letters in the alphabet are really fine.
Yeah.
And it may be something interesting to look at the hieroglyphs to see them because they're really fine. Diagrams.
Yeah.
And Wendy, what you may want to do is if you can copy that diagram, and I have a copy of it. I blew it up to 8.5 by 11. It's really just interesting to look at and study and turn.
Yeah, does it
blow
up well? Because the one I have is so difficult.
It's not going to be really clear, the characters, but there's enough design for you to pick up and feel and see. And if you turn it different ways and look, try to look at, and if you just try to look at what you're seeing, you may get something reflect back at
you. Just by looking, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
if you have it blown up, it's not going to be clear like you read a sentence or you look at any type of diagram, but it really, there's enough there. And when if you assemble the clues that Bob gives out with Jenny and Sheila, but a couple months ago Bob played a rewrite. There's a lot in there as well, clues.
Yeah.
Yeah, and looking at it now as opposed to when I got it, like, I mean, my God, like, it's, 9 months later, it's going to be so different. And how did you blow it up? Like, maybe I'll have to put it on a stick or something and take it to print.
What you can do, there's a function in, I believe it's PDF, where you can highlight a picture and copy it. Or you can do Control-C, and then you can go into, what I did is went into a Word document. It downloads the diagram, and then you can stretch it out across an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
Okay, thank you.
But like I said, it's not clear, but the shape and the lines and the angles and everything is clear enough to see. But it really helps your eye perception to just begin to try to look at it and figure it out, that a lot may come back at you when you just look at it. And then, like I said, listen to those beats. But then also, it's a diagram of it. It's a diagram of ourselves. I mean, we don't really get to see, but we don't get to see ourselves, but we just know the functions.
It includes the cell changes, the changes in the cells.
Yeah.
Well, knowing
also, Wendy, there's a clue. Also, Wendy, there's a clue of the angel diagram in one of the RNA drop recordings that Carolyn Bob did with Ion.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you all for this information.
And it also mentions about Dave. Hello?
Yeah.
Some new people coming in.
Bert, can you repeat? You said it in one of the recordings where Carolyn is talking to Ion about the RNA drops?
Yes. It's either what's in it or... Oh, I had it right here. Hold on. It's either what's in it or RNA drops defined. But it's worth listening to the RNA drops 100 times because there's so much in there. But it's the one that at the end, Bob and Ion are doing the talk, are breaking it down, winding up the clip, and Ion and Bob just relays what the relationship is to the angel diagram.
Nice, thank you.
There's also mention of Dave Worster's twirly. There's
thrill,
some Dave Worster in there as well.
Thrill. Yeah.
There's some Dave Worster in that clip as well.
Okay, I want to ask Wendy. I get the phone conference. Any phone conferencing, I get the record of it. So on the 19th, you're 403, right, Wendy?
Right.
225. Who's 225? Who talked to you?
Sarah Courtney.
Sarah Courtney.
Yeah. On the last call, Sarah Courtney called and I called, and the other Sarah, I got an email from her the next day, and she couldn't get in. She was trying to because she wanted to record it. And,
right.
She said she just got put on hold. And
that'll happen sometime, and you just have to keep trying. It does get weird like that. It blocks you for a while.
Well, she missed the whole session, so she was quite disappointed.
Well, that's why she got sick. See, that's why she got sick. All these disappointments piling up.
But Sarah Courtney and I, and she's online now, did you say? We had such a good time. And I was wondering, are you going to do a segment on, tonight, like you regularly do or not?
On what?
The Emerald Tablets, like you do on Saturday.
Yeah, we will be doing eventually this week's Emerald Tablet, because there'll be no show next Saturday. I'm not doing this and then doing. I won't have any show to do next Saturday, so it'll be another week and a half. And but I'll do. We'll do an Emerald Tablet. It's a good one, number 12. It's really good. We'll be doing that at some point over the next 5 days.
Well, then we'll probably next Saturday. Sarah and I have mentioned, or Sarah mentioned it to me. When there's no show, we can do one of our Emerald Tablets because we've only done two sessions so far, and they're great. What we found last time is we played you and Carolyn doing it with Ion, and then we kept stopping the recording whenever we wanted and discussing, and that was really good.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. Now, which tablet was that? Maybe 9, 10, or 11?
No, because we're starting at the beginning. We're going
way back to the beginning, right.
So we've only done, we did the intro, and that's when we decided that it was important to understand the hieroglyphs. So I found a place, and so we've all got a copy of that, and they're beautiful, what I found. And then we did, last week, we did the session one. So we've only done two things, the intro and session one.
Right.
Wendy, I don't have a chance. I keep falling asleep. I'm blaming the head concussion now.
I know.
I'm really glad that you're going to do it next Saturday night. I think we are.
If Sarah Courtney's on the line, she can interject because I think that was what we were thinking.
Why do you think she's on the line? Let's see.
Because I thought you told me that.
Let's see. Deborah West is back. A couple people. I don't see Sarah Courtney. No, I meant Michael. Sarah Gummo could be on the line. Michael is on. I didn't say Sarah Courtney is here. I meant the other Sarah.
Okay.
But what was I going to say? So we have two messages. Virginia in Cincinnati says, Inuit, meaning Eskimos, from silver ships. I'm spellbound. And then Sue from Montreal says, read me soon regarding Neanderthals. Capital letters, read me soon regarding Neanderthals. What, are we supposed to read something? But the Neanderthals don't make it, Sue. The Cro-Magnon are the other apes that make it. Anyway, she says, did not hear the whole thing about manipulations done to the jaw and the past timing. But what comes to mind is out-of-body researcher Robert Monroe said to begin process of out-of-body experiences, he would move his jaw till he felt vibrations in it before doing an out-of-body thing. So do you think there's a connection there? Is there a purpose to the jaw other than chewing food? What say you? I have no information on that. That would be a question for Ion.
Bob, do you know if anyone, sent this information to archaeologists to go looking for that particular bone structure change in Kenya or, the other areas? Because you asked him, right, the locations of where this occurred.
Yes, but they were moved to other parts of the world, remember. They were deposited in China, North America, South America, so you could find bones there. I think Everyone said you can find remains there and you would notice the difference. But the, what you were just saying, what did you just say? You heard me say, Evan, a scientist said something happened to man's intelligence through the jaw. That was a scientific theory or something came out 10 years ago. But nobody would do this because nobody's heard this until now. Nobody knows this information. I don't think I ever said it on my radio show. I might have in passing one time in some interview said it. I'd often throw these statements out, but
I'm thinking of the UFO conference. One of the videos, I put it on Dukes months ago when I came across it, but you gave a presentation at a UFO conference.
That's where I met Eben, August 99 in Mesquite, Nevada. That's where I presented a lot of this information.
Yeah, and there's two things. One is that, again, in my profession, it's always been, and I'm sure it's very simple, I'm sure it applies everywhere, it's the importance of sharing information across areas of expertise,
Yeah.
And And that's forever unresolvable because, you know, the archaeologists, if archaeologists were to have this information and search specifically for these kinds of changes, they, you know, they would, it would change the way they're looking for information. But that's
yeah, they're
what
book people. Yeah, if they found out, it's just like ion. If they found out that ion information is valid and the evergreens are valid, then they would not have to go searching. They just have to have sessions with ion. And that makes researching too simple. Nobody can make a profession out of that or a muddlement.
But what it takes me to, you know, again, part of one of my little quests here with you is understanding and this and kind of identifying the history of the influence of what I call non-physical communication, because channeling and, you know, some sort of sharing information from not here appears to have occurred throughout time as well.
Yeah, yeah. And
So I'm just, you know...
Marie Antoinette would read her fireplace. Can't remember what was in the fireplace, and that made her on top of Louis XIV or Louis XVI, whatever court she was. I think it was the 16th. She was on top of everybody, and everybody was hanging around because she knew stuff through her non-physical source that the rest of the court didn't have. You find many people in history, you know, just like we're going to make history, and why? Because we got this non-physical. It's all
exactly.
It's that simple. You just have to have the guts to use non-physical.
And if it were taken seriously across the board, again, you know, if everybody would
lighten up. They wouldn't be so in a knot about trying to find out something. You just
exactly.
ask ion and tell you, and then you figure out how it relates to you. But the scientists are so abstractly building up information, and they don't even apply it to themselves.
But it starts, yes, but that would, you know, what if it was somehow accepted by the so-called mainstream that this is the best knowledge we have to work with, it would change absolutely everything. And will that ever happen? Because is it ever to be resolved for
For a lot of people. A lot of people will be resolved. A lot of people will ascend.
But for those that are not ascended.
We don't have to worry about them.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like there's millions of fish being born in the ocean every day, and you can't make sure each one is happy.
No. Wait a minute. No, that's not my point. My point is that it will always be.
Oh, yeah. There'll always be contrast.
There will always be those that are not ascended. Therefore, there will always be something unresolved. Therefore, it's unresolvable.
But wait a minute. Ion is implying that if you can't take the vibration, you get out. You'll be kicked out, or you'll have to be, you won't like it here. So Ion is implying there's a big change happening. The old conflict won't be there anymore.
So there really is something going on in this time.
Yes. This is radically different. The cosmic awareness used to say that the big distinction about the new age that was coming is that it would be new. You know, new, unfamiliar. Ion says the guff empties and all the essences are swept back here, forced by default to be eternal, whether they like it or not.
Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but in 2003, I was with a group of people. It ranged from 12 to 45, and the Ark, they called themselves the Ark, came and spoke through a friend of mine. And it was Gabriel and Haniel and Michael and this other entity called Christ O Light. And he said he was the grid. He was the light grid around the planet. And there wasn't a lot. I wish I would have drilled them like you did. But they were very similar, simple conclusions, that we would reach a time where we would manifest in this body anything and everything we desired, that we could look exactly the way we wanted to look, we could pick the age we wanted our body to look like, we could do anything and everything, and that we would travel the stars. And there's other little bits and pieces that are similar.
Well, that's a theosophical meme. You read Bob Carr's God, Men, God, con men, god men, con men. The theosophy, a lot of these channelers replay the themes that came out of the 19th century. And at first, superficial listening, you think Ion is following that case. Mark Stallman thinks that's what's happening. This is just the usual Gnostic bullshit that's been done through psychic stuff. But if you stay with Ion, you realize, no, man, this is way more than any. Ion is not a Gnostic. He's not anything.
I think I'm analyzing that experience through Ion information, and that's why I'm just, I really would like to know more about the angel, this angel connection.
You said you're analyzing that experience. What experience?
That experience that I had in 2003 where the Ark spoke through my friend. I mean, I'm more looking at how, what were little bits and pieces that are similar to Ion, as opposed to Ion validating that information. You see what I mean?
You will hear in the first hours, we had a great conversation, Ginny and I and Madeline and a few others, about everything Ion says is taken from Hollywood movies. It's a massive tape recording. You see, Ion is not saying anything. All these other things got messages. You'll see that Ion undermines your anticipation of some change. He tell you it's already happened to you. She's different with Ion.
So there's no information for me in exploring the angel diagram and the whole...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you don't know that. To explore it as Ion tells you about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for references. Yeah, you got to look at how Ion plays with the media, absorbs the media, absorbs the five bodies. We actually have a very good discussion, good insights in defining the Ion phenomenon. And everything else you ever heard of becomes silly compared to the activity that Ion's doing in all the different bodies.
I have one perfect example, and then I have to grind my coffee beans. But... in my work, it always has been one of the biggest factors, one of the biggest things that keeps us from moving forward is the ability to share information. So while as me as a person, when the phone, or I, and last week, I mean, it's becoming so clear that I cannot doubt what's happening. When I anticipate somebody calling me on the phone before the phone rings now, and I know who it is. And it's almost like a very good friend of mine, all of a sudden he came to my mind and I was thinking of Lee, and the phone rang and he was on the phone. And that happens all the time. So it's like telepathically, or however we call it, we're getting better at communicating.
Yeah.
But this morning gave me the perspective that this not being able to share information, this lack of being able to share information, you can't share the Evergreens material with the archaeologists because you got to get to accept. Yeah, that will. Well, that's the way it is. Keep, you know, that's.
Well, we had a warning. We had a warning. The specialists in evolution, the species that specialized, they died out, and you'll hear this Bucky Fuller McLuhan tone. Specialism is not the way to go, and so that's why there's no sharing information. Many of the fields are run by specialists, and they're not into being non-specialists.
Yep.
So they're doomed.
That's the medical practice right now.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So Sue Montreal says, read me soon regarding Neanderthals. I did not. Did I read all this? Yes. So do you think there's... Yeah, we did that. The John chewing food. Okay. In the chat room, Cider Summer says, as I sat in my chair listening, I've been to work early this morning posting mail, so I'm too tired to post on here too much at the moment. Sat back, taking in whether I'm drifting in and out of dozing. And then he says, The Girl in the Fireplace is the fourth episode of Series 2 of the British science fiction television series Doctor Who. It was first broadcast on May 6, 2006 on the British BBC, was directed by Euros Lynn, and is the only episode in the 2006 series written by Stephen Moffat. Sophia Myles guest starred as a historical figure, Madame de Pompadour. The episode is inspired by Audrey Niffenegger's novel, The Time Traveler's Wife. So you're saying that is about Marie Antoinette? Is that? Oh, yeah, the girl in the fireplace. Okay, good. So that's it. That's in the Doctor Who thing. All right, that's a good point. Then he says, I wish I heard that. I see Ion everywhere in the sci-fi world and vice versa. I'll catch that at some non-time. LOL. Okay, so we can't really start the recording. It'll only be short. Anybody want to talk about anything else and get over the top of the hour?
Yes, Bob.
Hey, Bob, we're just here killing time with you. I keep thinking that. We're literally killing it. We're doing the show. We're killing time. It's over.
Yeah, killing time. Yeah, Bert.
Bob, it's interesting that they brought up the UFO conference that you met Evan, because I always wanted to see that. So in between everyone talking, I Googled.
Yeah.
And are you aware of a site called Bob Archives?
Yes, that is Sleeper. It's a whole different... He took Steve's timeline and made it pretty, because he's a very accomplished commuter...
yes, he is.
Computer person. He's professional.
Yes, he is. It's really, really nice. Really, really,
yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, like you put your cursor over it, and it's a graph, and it's stretching the whole period. Yes, and that is out of date over the last couple of years. That was done 2 or 3 years ago, so it doesn't have what came later.
Yes, it's up to 2011.
Right, but it is nice to look at.
Yes, it is. But that's where I found it, so now I'm able to go in and look at that. The August 1999. No, not August. What is it? 17th, I'm sorry.
August 1999,
yeah.
Yes. Bob, at the UFO conference, you told the audience, and you were holding papers in your hand, and you said you had papers that were in the... Family.
My oligarch employer's papers.
Correct. Is that true?
Yes, they had stuff similar to what the Evering said, not as complete. So I would read, read something from the oligarch papers and mix it in with the Evergreen's notes I had. So I wasn't going to bother explaining the difference because. I wasn't playing that stuff publicly, the Evergreen stuff. You know, that's 14 years ago. So,
how long were those papers in that family? How long?
500 years. They probably had some kind of medium or went to parallel worlds and got the information or something. But, yes, there was. That's the Priory of Sion, the famous Priory of Sion that the Holy Blood, Holy Grail's about. They had... there's always been sent people, you know, throughout history who would do this, do what we're doing, probably basically channeling. And the Evergreens are channeling. They're entities. They're not the guff. And what was my point? They're not the guff. What's different about now is that everybody can hear Ion. The oligarchs had it in their little families, little circles, secret circles. Nobody heard it. You see, this is the difference. There's no holding back experiencing my broadcasting of the Evergreens or of Ion stuff. That's the radical difference, which was made possible by digital media.
So if the teenagers pick up Ion, Ion is mainstream in 20 years.
Yeah, it could be, though Ion does not want to be mass accepted. So we will continue being assholes on some level to piss people off so that we can continue being leading edge. Or
we,
not. Maybe
what,
we won't.
You,
what?
Oh, is that what you want? I mean, I can help with that.
Yeah, no, Now, here's the point. Another point is that maybe Ion will be mass accepted, and because that's in the world of information, of the leading edge of information. Well, if we're in a post-information society, then the leading edge is not what is said by the mouth. It is stuff like the RNA drops. So it may not apply anymore that we have to be leading edge. We will just take over, and those that are lucky will be part of it.
Well, I'm reminded of the meaning of the word apocalypse, the Latin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's revelation. Ion is revelation. That's the completion. That's the tearing away of the veil.
The revealing.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And it's you know, I haven't heard these evergreens in years, and it's really interesting to listen to it again. It's a good experience for me to hear how it makes me think new thoughts in terms of preparation for Ion. Like, when I get other people being impressed with it, then it seems real, and then you say, oh, well, this is significant. I had this stuff ready for when Ion showed up.
Sure. No, it feels very significant to me.
Yeah. Somebody called Mindfuck writes, demons from innerverse, but that's spelled diamond, D-A-E-M-O-N-S, which is more of a mystical term. Diamonds from innerverse rather than universe. Demons, diamonds. Don't know if they're insulting us or not. So, let me just play a little music, and then we'll play something. I want to play this. I don't know why it stopped, but I'll do it again.